Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Last week we aired, never before aired audio from back when I had the opportunity to go on C-SPAN versus a Planned Parenthood child killer, someone who spends her life advocating that it should be legal to kill innocent children in the womb. Her name, Crystal Klinkenbeard. So Crystal and I were being interviewed by the C-SPAN host. And then, of course, as they do, they took calls from around the country. And we were well into the interview when we ran out of time on the program. So we will continue now. And one of the things we want to do is see if the arguments we were making for abolition, to abolish abortion, for the personhood of the unborn child to be recognized in law, that every child should be loved and protected by law, to see if those arguments have stood the test of time.
Regarding incest, abortion for incest is cruel to women because her rapist brings her to Planned Parenthood. We brought evidence of this to the Colorado Republican Attorney General's office, and they just dismissed it. Systematically, nationwide, Planned Parenthood refuses to comply with mandatory reporting of suspected child sexual abuse. They simply don't report. And so the rapist brings his niece or his stepdaughter to Planned Parenthood. They get rid of the evidence, and they send her home with her rapist. That is cruel. And we don't say the mother has to risk her life. You save the life of the mother. You don't kill the mother to save the baby. That would be immoral. You don't kill the baby to save the mother. You try to save both. If it's an ectopic pregnancy, you remove the baby from the fallopian tube. Tragically, the baby dies. But if it's a late-term abortion, you don't intentionally kill the baby, like Dr. Martin Haskell from Ohio does by stabbing the baby in the back of the neck. Now, partial birth abortion is banned, but it hasn't stopped one abortion.
Ms. Klinkenbeard,
they just used different techniques.
Ms. Klinkenbeard, if you wanted to comment.
I would very much like to comment. First of all, this is the second time that Mr. Inyart has made these really graphic and extreme accusations against Planned Parenthood. The claims that he are making are just not true.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Our friend Mark Crutcher down in Denton, Texas, he runs Life Dynamics. He hired basically an actress, a woman, to pose as a 13-year-old girl to call every abortion mill in the state of Colorado, in fact, in the entire country. And they professionally recorded those phone calls and the systematic response. In fact, we aired some of those calls on this program. We've interviewed Mark Crutcher, Leslie Hanks, Joe Scott, and I went to Colorado's Attorney General's office, John Southers, a Republican, and brought the audio recordings of the abortion mills helping young girls who say they were impregnated by adult men, explaining to them how to come to the abortion mill. Don't tell anyone the age of the man that impregnated them, and then they'll let them get an abortion and they could leave. And so what they're doing is they are helping the rapist get away with his crime. And typically, if there is an uncle or a stepdad who impregnated his stepdaughter, who's 13 years old, 14 years old, he's typically the one who brings her to Planned Parenthood. So they violate her again by killing the baby. They get rid of the evidence of the crime. I hate to refer to the baby as the evidence of the rape, of the incest, but of all the wonderful things the baby is also the evidence of the incest. They dispose of the evidence and they return the girl, not only oftentimes to be raped again, they don't just send her home to her rapist. They often send her with her rapist back home, who takes her home. So when Crystal Klinkenbeard, I think the C-SPAN host mispronounced her name, he said Klinkenbird. I mean, that's weird too. But Klinkenbeard, when she says that I'm exaggerating this, oh, really? We have aired the calls. And in fact, all of the calls are available uncut, many, many hundreds of calls. And it's horrifying. It's systematic. It's not just one woman at one abortion mill. Talk about systematic oppression. It's nationwide. They're taught to do this. And they are the greatest ally to the rapist that history has ever seen, the Planned Parenthood abortion industry.
The claims that he are making are just not true. Responsible healthcare providers have a responsibility to report criminal activity, and that's exactly what Planned Parenthood does.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. We asked, when we were at Southers, the Attorney General for Colorado, his office, we asked a question. They brought in a gal who's been working in the Attorney General's office for like 25 years. And we said, when is the last time you recall an abortion clinic in Colorado reporting suspected child sexual abuse? She thought about it. She thought about it. And she said, I can't recall a single instance.
Report criminal activity, and that's exactly what Planned Parenthood does. Beyond that, Mr. Inyart keeps talking about really graphic abortion procedures, but that's not what Amendment 48 here in Colorado is about, and it's important for your listeners to understand that Amendment 48 grants fertilized eggs the same constitutional rights that you and I enjoy. So for him to be talking about a procedure late in pregnancy is another scare tactic and attempt at deception. And then finally, no state in the country has language like this in their constitution. Amendment 48 is brand new, very dangerous, very untested legal ground. It doesn't contain any exceptions for a woman's health. And for Mr. Inyart to claim that he knows what a doctor would do, independent of what the law says, of what legal experts are saying, of what the Colorado Medical Society, the Colorado Academy of Family Physicians, and the Colorado Gynecological Obstetrical Society is saying, is just outrageous. If you grant a fertilized egg the same rights that you and I enjoy, then there is no clear path for a doctor if a woman's health is at risk.
Got to get a call in. Hold on your thought.
Stop the tape. So the same argument was made back by the U.S. Supreme Court, in fact, in 1857, the case Dred Scott, when the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, his name is Taney, Roger Taney, he wrote the majority opinion that if a slave, a black man who's a slave, is brought to a free state where they don't have slavery, and that's what happened to this man, Dred Scott. You could see his photograph. You could see all this in the article I had the honor of writing for American Right to Life on their website, /Dred, D-R-E-D. So AmericanRTL.org/Dred. Well, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court wrote, do you realize what it would mean if we recognize these blacks as, you know, fill in the word you'd like to use, persons, at the time they were using citizens? He said, if we did this, it would affect so many laws in the country. And let me give you a quote. He said, this is right in the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. It would give to persons of the Negro race the right to enter every other state whenever they pleased. Imagine that. It would give them the right to sojourn there as long as they pleased. the right to go wherever they pleased. It would give them the full liberty of speech. It would give them the right to hold public meetings. And it would give them the right to keep and carry arms wherever they went. So the argument was the same as Planned Parenthood against abolition, against the personhood of the innocent child. Their argument is there are so many laws that this would affect. This is dangerous. That's exactly what those who were dehumanizing of blacks argued, that this will make such an impact on our legal system and our culture. We have no idea what this will do. And for anyone who knew right from wrong, the response was that is irrelevant because the truth is every person has their God-given rights. It doesn't matter how it will affect you or your life. You don't have the right to enslave an innocent person. You don't have the right to dismember an innocent baby.
Texas, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. To the gentleman, I think your views are just as extreme and as the partial birth abortion procedure, which is outrageous and extreme. I think there's middle ground. I appreciate you championing the rights of the unborn. But honestly, I wish women would decide this issue without the input of men at all. I think you're completely unrealistic. And the lady sitting next to you seems like a very compassionate but a rational, practical, and realistic person. Obviously, at some point in time in a pregnancy, abortion should not be allowed. The child is too developed. But giving this fertilized egg all the statuses, legal statuses of a person, and giving the right to prosecute for murder and also put people to death with a death sentence for having an abortion, early stage abortion, which has been legal in this country, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's nuts. It's too extreme.
The caller addressed both of you, so I'll let both of you respond. Mr. Enyer, you go first.
Well, of course, it's a sexist thing to say, and it also doesn't make sense because Roe v. Wade was decided by seven men. In fact, it was a Republican U.S. Supreme Court that gave us Roe v. Wade and Harry, and it was Republican Justice Harry Blackmun who actually wrote the decision. In Colorado, it was our Republican Governor John Love who legalized abortion back in 1967. A few months later, Republican Governor Ronald Reagan in California, he later said it was the greatest mistake of his life. So men are very responsible for the guilt of not loving and protecting children, but men are more pro-choice than women because men will, in their base elements, they will be selfish and use women, and they'll use a woman sexually, impregnate her, and not want to have to love her or care for her or their child. And so men are more pro-choice than women, and that's historic because a woman carries the baby and knows it is a child. And middle ground, there is no middle ground to loving and protecting a child. There's no hard cases when it comes to loving a child.
Okay, Ms. Klinkenberg. Beard, sorry.
That's all right. You know, Amendment 48 here in Colorado is an example of the extremism of this movement.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. So as was argued by Ronald Reagan's Attorney General, C. Everett Koop, if we decriminalize abortion in the womb, we will begin abusing children out of the womb in epidemic numbers because we have just dehumanized little ones. Well, tragically, I was asked to write another article for American Right to Life, and it was on infanticide. And we have a list of all famous leftist organizations, individuals who all happen to be pro-choice. And guess what they all want to legalize? They want to legalize infanticide. Who's the extremist when the New York Times, the Journal of Medical Ethics, Discover Magazine, The Guardian, Richard Dawkins, Peter Singer, the Anglican Church of England, the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecology, the entire nation of Belgium, on and on, U.S. college students in large numbers advocating abortion after birth. In the Journal of Medical Ethics, it's called Afterbirth Abortion. This is the title of one of their papers that they published. The Journal of Medical Ethics. They were in the news just this month, this journal. Afterbirth Abortion, Why Should the Baby Live? And they argue that just like a fetus, a newborn does not have the same moral status as actual persons, and it should be legal. Afterbirth abortion, that's killing an infant, should be permissible in all the cases where abortion is, including cases where the newborn is not disabled. That's a verbatim quote from the article. So it should be legal to kill a baby after the baby's born because the mother doesn't want the baby. The New York Times ran a 3-page article titled Why They Kill Their Newborns. It was written by MIT Steven Pinker, and it advocated decriminalizing infanticide. So we thought of a question we could ask Pinker. If they used a bullet to kill the baby, would more people realize that it was wrong? You know, take a gun, shoot the baby. That's what they're advocating. Oh, they want to do it in a way that makes them feel better and looks more humane. Discover Magazine, an article titled The Evolution of Infanticide, where Sarah Hardy writes that infanticide is at one extreme in a spectrum of parental care. She says infanticide is part of parental care because the mother might kill one baby so that she has more time to spend with the other babies. How's that one? Discover Magazine. The Guardian, same thing. Richard Dawkins, you know, the world's most famous evolutionist, and Peter Singer, you know, the world's most famous bioethicist. What a joke. And if you go to AmericanRTL.org/infanticide, you could hear them talking about killing a baby if the baby is handicapped. In fact, why don't we hear that right now? Because the discussion is, and this woman who called in, it is so extreme to try to stop all abortion. It's so extreme. Well, when you kill a baby, when you advocate killing a baby, God says that's about the most extreme thing you can do. In fact, the Lord said, what is it, 3 times in the Bible, about those who sacrifice their children? He said, it never entered my mind that you would do such evil things. It never entered my mind. You find that in the book of Jeremiah, and you could find it at opentheism.org. Just click on the verse list, and you'll find the verses where God repeatedly said, this grave evil, this thing, this never entered my mind that you would be so evil to do such a thing. So Richard Dawkins and Peter Singer.
The argument in favor of abortion up until the baby was 1 year old, say, or 2 years old. And so if a baby was 1 year old and turned out to have some horrible, incurable disease that meant it was going to die in agony in later life, what about infanticide? Strictly morally, I can see no objection to that at all. I would be in favor of infanticide.
So strictly morally, strictly, like Richard Dawkins, the materialist, is somehow an expert in morality when morality is not made of matter. Atoms and molecules, they don't decide righteousness, truth, justice, love.
Of the extremism of this movement right now. Colorado is not the only state that they tried to get this language on the ballot. They tried to do it in Georgia, Oregon, and Montana. And one of our real concerns here in Colorado is that we have a responsibility, not just to Colorado voters, but to folks across the country, to show that Amendment 48, defining a fertilized egg as a person with the same constitutional rights that you and I enjoy, is just, it's too extreme. And right now our country has other important issues to deal with, and we shouldn't be distracted by these divisive, gimmicky political tools.
Stop the tape. You know, it's interesting when you think about what Crystal just brought up, abortion and all the other issues in society. And when society allows the littlest children to be dismembered, to be killed, whether by chemical weapons or vacuums, suction, aspiration, where at Planned Parenthood, literally, they put a suction tube into the mother's uterus and it grabs a hold of one of the baby's feet and rips off the baby's legs. Literally, that's what happens in a suction aspiration abortion. And piece by piece, the baby, if you've seen video like the silent scream of an ultrasound during an abortion, the baby is utterly panicked and doing everything it can for its little life to try to get away from this threat. But the baby has nowhere to go. His mother has decided to kill him. And that suction tube gets that baby's foot. And it pulls and it rips the baby's leg right off his body. And then it rips the other leg off and then the abdomen and, of course, gets to the chest and the baby's now dead. And it sucks down the arms, the hands, and it gets to the head. And the head is so well-developed and so large at that point, you could hear the suction machine, the motor, bzzz, it really starts spinning because it's having a hard time getting enough suction to get the baby's head into the vacuum tube. And so the abortionist will go in with a clamp and squeeze and crush the baby's skull. So that's what Crystal, that's what so many of our Republican politicians, that's what so much of the church, that's what the majority of Americans advocate doing that to whichever babies they think don't deserve to be protected by love and by law. When we see the collapse of morality in our country, and we realize that our Christian leaders began to compromise on what? On their own retirement benefits? No, not on that. To compromise on the killing of innocent children. When we see that our Christian leaders, our conservative leaders, our political Republican leaders, when they en masse and practically with one voice decided they would compromise on the killing of innocent children, where do you think they were finally going to draw the line? The fact that our families have been decimated by immorality, by sexual immorality, and our culture being destroyed by the baseness of materialism, and our economy attacked by socialism, everywhere you turn, the epidemic, the increase in crime, which, by the way, we predicted right here on this show back when we started in 1991, the crime epidemic, it was an epidemic. And then it was a very superficial way to reduce the murder rate and the crime rate. They put 1 million more people in jail. And we pointed out on this show that eventually those 1 million people, they're going to get out of jail. They're going to get out of jail, and this is no actual cure to the problem of a crime epidemic. This is only postponing the consequences. So America has learned how to tolerate a criminal society, not holding the line and not demanding that innocent children be protected by love and by law. That failure has led exactly to what you're experiencing right now.
By these divisive, gimmicky political tools.
Yuma, Arizona, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'd just like to address Crystal first, and she keeps talking about this fertilized egg. Under the Declaration of Independence, once you were created, and can you tell me if you think nothing has been created at the moment of conception? You have the right to life. Also, Mr. Enyer, people keep thinking or talking about rape. Isn't this only like 1% of the abortions? So 90% or more than 90% is just out of convenience for the mother who does not want to have a baby. And also, if I could just say, I am a mother of two boys, and I myself am pro-life. My children, they're young. They know about abortion. They disagree with it. And again, like the Illinois call, where are their rights to having their child? This is wrong, and it needs to go through. And also, Crystal, you mentioned a lot of programs that Planned Parenthood, but you know money goes towards abortions. And I think there's a misconception on abortion that babies that are aborted aren't babies. Can you tell me that they don't look like babies, that these babies that are being murdered aren't able to be or live outside of the womb?
Okay, Ms. Klinkenberg.
No, Bob in here first. So when Klink said earlier abortion is just a small percentage of what we do, she reminded me of the Nazis. She reminded me of ISIS saying, you know, killing Jews is only 2% of what we do. Beheading the innocent is only 1% of what we do. I mean, even the KKK, lynching blacks is only 0.5% of what we do. When that is the argument that dismembering children in the womb is only a part of what you do, your defense will be used on Judgment Day as the accusation against you. On Judgment Day, your own words will condemn you, that there you will be admitting that, yes, we kill babies in the womb.
So to the first part of your question, you know, there's a well-meaning people disagree passionately about when life begins, and restrictions, bans, extreme policies like Amendment 48 here in Colorado do nothing to resolve that difficult social issue. The question that voters in Colorado are going to face is, should a fertilized egg from the moment of fertilization have legal rights? Should that egg, for example, in this section of the Constitution that Amendment 48 will apply to, have the right to property? And that's really why Amendment 48 is so extreme.
Mr. Enyart.
And
of course, abortion is not only cruel to children, it's cruel to the moms. And we owe it to the next generation of young women in the state of Colorado, in our country, to protect them from the cruelty of convenience and pressure to kill their little baby, their boy or girl. And so this amendment is a historic opportunity for the state of Colorado to acknowledge the God-given right to life comes, like the last caller said, at that moment of creation. Our rights don't come from the hospital. They don't come from the delivery doctor, the OBGYN. Our rights come from our Creator, and Planned Parenthood and Crystal, they cannot say when life begins, even though it is so obvious in any biology textbook, fetology, that life begins at that moment. And you find out, all you have to do is refrain from killing it to find out what a beautiful and precious little boy or girl is right there in that embryo.
And Ms.
Stop the tape. In fact, there was a survey done by the University of Chicago in 2018. They surveyed 5,500 biologists from over 1,000 institutions around the world. They asked them, when does life begin? 95% of 5,500 biologists said human life begins at fertilization. It is so obvious. Those few who refused to acknowledge that, they did so because they were thinking about their political position and their power to kill unborn children so that those unborn children would not become an inconvenient truth to their lives. When the left, like Al Gore, and the left says consensus, first of all, they're almost always lying when they say there's a consensus. Regarding life beginning at conception, if ever there were a consensus, 5,200 biologists saying, of course, life begins at fertilization, that's a consensus. Follow the science, they're liars. the Carnegie Institute. In fact, you could find this at Washington, D.C.'s National Museum of Health and Medicine. They have their Human Development Anatomy Center. And this is from the Carnegie Institute. And let me read to you, they're called the Carnegie Stages of Human Development. And in stage one, this is what they say. The term egg is best reserved for the breakfast table. They say that term is not. And then they go on with a lot of scientific vocabulary. And they say that term is not helpful when you're talking about science. Now, it's not inherently wrong to refer to a fertilized egg, but when you're using that term to dehumanize and to deny, for example, that that single cell has the complete genetic complement of everything that that human being will ever have, that single cell is either a little boy or a little girl. It has either an X and Y chromosome, meaning it's a boy, or two X chromosomes, meaning there's a little daughter there in her mother's womb. To dehumanize that child with the term egg, best reserved for the breakfast table, what the consequences of that will be is you will be confronted by that egg on Judgment Day, only it won't be an egg any longer. It will be a woman or a man accusing you of killing them. And God will be there to back up that accusation. Best now to get right with God and ask him to forgive you. Jesus Christ took your punishment. If you are willing to accept his forgiveness, you could be forgiven and have everlasting life.
Miss Klinkenbeard, I may have cut you off and you get the last word. Go ahead.
Actually, no, stop the tape. Actually, we'll get the last word. Klinkenbeard, as I recall, goes on to talk about miscarriages and when the baby fertilized in the fallopian tube doesn't implant in the mother's womb, a spontaneous abortion. Of course, that's the difference between accidental death and murder. I'd like to invite you to read the shortest article ever written. The shortest article ever written, published. It's at American Right to Life's website. You could find it, AmericanRightToLife.org/abortion. It's titled, Why Abortion is Wrong. Here, I'll read to you the whole article. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and it's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby. And that's because children are made in God's image, and God said, do not kill the innocent.